Acts chapter 16, this is a pretty simple message this morning, which is okay because I'm a pretty simple guy. This is a message that I had a very difficult time preparing. And I tried to go several different directions, and I soon learned that my directions were not good. I needed to listen to the Lord. And so as we came to the finished product of this morning's message, I became very, very convinced of the need of this message today. It's not a hard message. It's not an offensive message. It is a needed message. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, Acts chapter 16. We're going to begin in verse 11, and we're going to meet a lady named Lydia today. Verse 11 says, "So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace on the day following to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we're staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and we began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for this lady, Lydia, whom we may learn and grow from. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our understanding, and give us the heart to respond, Lord, to your leading today. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Paul, just prior to this, Paul has attempted to start ministering. He's begun his second missionary journey. He goes back and visited churches that he started before. And he come to that point where he finished that, and he attempted to go to Galatia and minister in the region of Galatia. But it says earlier that the Holy Spirit prevented him from doing that. Then he attempted to preach in Bithynia, it says, and the Holy Spirit also did not permit him to do that. And so he's kind of at a loss for a little season there until he had a vision. God sent him a vision of a man from Macedonia who said, "Come to Macedonia and help us." And so Paul, in his excitement, immediately he catches a boat from Troas and travels to Neapolis, which is in the region of Macedonia. And when he arrives there, he walks or travels 10 miles inland to the city of Philippi. And arriving in Philippi, he meets a lady. The lady's name is Lydia, and that's where we are today. And you don't hear a lot about Lydia. I've not heard a lot of messages preached about Lydia, but that's who we're going to focus on today. We're going to take a look, first of all, at Lydia's longing. We see that Lydia had a desire for God. Just immediately in our reading, we see that she had a desire to know God. But she had a problem, and that problem was she was rejected. Lydia's rejection got in the way. In that, it's interesting, as Paul arrives in that city, usually when he gets to a place, he immediately goes into the synagogue and he starts preaching the gospel. But that's not the case here. In this case, it says that he was there for several days, and then finally he learns about a prayer meeting going on at the river during the Sabbath, and he goes out there. Why did he wait? Why didn't he jump on and get with it? And the reason is because Philippi didn't have a synagogue. You see, to have a synagogue, it required 10 Jewish men believing in God and heads of households to start a synagogue. Well, either there wasn't 10 Jewish men there who were who would enable them to have a synagogue, or the Jewish men that were there just didn't care. And so there was no synagogue in that city of Philippi. And so these ladies were, I guess, doing the next best thing. They were just meeting on the Sabbath day for prayer. So Paul, from his time there at Philippi, he discovered that they were meeting at the river to pray. Or he discovered that someone was meeting at the river to pray. So he decides to go out there on the Sabbath day. And when he arrives, he finds a gathering of women. Sounds dangerous, doesn't it? In that society, and what I'm about to tell you, I want you to know this didn't come from me. This comes from history, okay? But in that society, there was a deep-seated prejudice toward women. The Jewish rabbis who taught in that day commonly taught, one of their phrases that they continually repeated was that it was better that the words of the law be burned than delivered to a woman. I know. Ladies, remember, that didn't come from me, okay? I just want to make that perfectly clear. The rabbis in their daily prayer would pray this prayer. They would say, "Blessed are you, Lord God, ruler of the universe, who has not created me a Gentile. Blessed are you for not having made me a slave. And blessed are you for not having made me a woman." There was just this mentality, and it was wrong, okay? It was very wrong, but there was this mentality that women were second-place citizens. So you had these ladies, and men, we all know that's not the case, amen? I mean, they're better than we are, amen? You better amen that. But in that society, that's the way they looked at ladies, at women. And so when Paul gets there, he arrives having seen this vision of a man saying, "Come to Macedonia and help us." And now the first place he finds that he can share the gospel by this, in this meeting that occurs by the river, it's a bunch of women. But Paul didn't see ladies, or did not see women in the eyes of the mainstream religion. Paul saw women just like he saw men, as people who needed Jesus. Okay? And that's why Paul sets down and he begins to talk to this lady named Lydia. Because he knew that Lydia wanted to know God, but she had nobody to lead her. She had a need that someone consider her important enough to sit down and share Jesus with her. Now, Lydia, of course, as we read, was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple fabrics. Purple fabrics was very costly and a very lucrative profession. She would have been very wealthy. And we know that just by her inviting Paul at the end of this, Paul and his company, to stay in her house. She had a big house. And so she was a dealer in purple garments, which would have been for royalty. And the most important thing about her was not her businesswoman. It was not that she was well-to-do. It was she was a worshiper of God. I love that, don't you? I love that. But if you'll notice, even though she was a worshiper of God, she wasn't saved. So before you believe what the world says, it doesn't matter what God you worship, just as long as you worship a God, we're all trying to get to heaven. Don't buy that, okay? There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. But here, her desire is revealed in that she is a worshiper of God. She was sincere, she was genuine, but the truth was she did not fit the religious mold. So all the rabbis, everybody else, would have just written her off. Not only was she a lady, she was a Gentile. So I thought about that. I thought, you know, the world is filled with people who just think they don't fit in. Have you noticed that? You know, they just seem to not fit in this group or that group. And there are even people who think they don't fit in churches. Among the religious crowd, if you will. But I want to share with you today some really, really good news. And that good news is found in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter was speaking. And Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. You realize that nobody here this morning is better than anybody else. That nobody here either fits in or does not fit in. It's not about religion today. The good news is if you are feeling like you do not fit in, the good news is God loves you. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or if you're a man. God loves you. It does not matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. God loves you. And He's interested in your salvation. Paul knew that. That's why he takes the time to share with this lady named Lydia. And I praise God for that example. And you know what else I praise God for? I praise God that Lydia listened. It says, and this is something that we would be quick to overlook, but there in verse 14 it said, a woman named Lydia, city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. Now, obviously Lydia was interested in what Paul had to say. You see, that term listen was a legal term. It was a judicial term. And it means to give a judicial hearing to. The idea is to hear a case, weigh the facts, and be willing to accept the truth based on those facts. See, Lydia was willing to listen to Paul because she didn't know about Jesus Christ. And it's very important that we focus on that word for just a few moments, because there are a lot of people who have become jaded toward the gospel today. That they've made up their minds that the gospel is not for them, and they've closed their minds and you know, they don't want anything to do with it because a church somewhere mistreated them in the past. Or because they've heard about preachers, and all preachers do is abuse people and take advantage of people, and they don't want any part of that. Or they've saw where people claim to be Christians and they live like the devil everywhere else except church on Sunday. So that's not for me. Listen, I want you to just stop and lay aside your prejudice. Okay? I will tell you this. Just because one preacher's bad does not mean they all are. Just because one church is bad does not mean they all are. And just because there was a bad apple in the bunch does not mean the whole batch is bad apples. So take the time this morning and listen. Open your mind and be open to the truth. I ask you to give me a judicial hearing. Weigh what I give you and act upon it. Can we do that? Amen? Okay. First thing I want you to understand today is that if you want to have a relationship with God, it is not between you and anybody else. It is between you and God. And the reason I say that is because so many people point their fingers at other people and use them for an excuse not to have a relationship with God. They point at those Christians who are insincere and say, well, if that's what Christianity is about, I don't want any part of it. Listen, it's not what Christianity is about. You can't base your relationship with God by what I do or do not do. So the first thing you understand today is having a relationship with God starts and ends with you. It's not between you and anybody else. Be willing to listen. Now, it says that Lydia listened, and the next thing it says is the Lord opened her heart to respond. You see, the second thing I want you to understand is how God works when we're willing to listen. First of all, you say, well, I wonder what Paul told her. Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you what Paul told her. It's not in here. It's in the book of Romans. Okay? Paul told her, first of all, Romans 3:23. He said, you got to address your sin, Lydia. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen, hold on, because this is what people today don't want to hear. When you say somebody's wrong or somebody's sin, they back up and they say, who are you to accuse me or to condemn me and what I do? I'm nothing. I'm not condemning you. I'm sharing the Word of God. And the Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you're a sinner. Do you understand that? But it's not just you. It's everybody here. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't point your finger at anybody else at this point and say, yeah, they're worse than I am. It doesn't matter what they are. This is you and your sin. This is me and my sin. I have to deal with my sin. And you have to deal with your sin. It's not between you and anybody else. Paul shared with her. She was a sinner. Second thing he shared with her was Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's another thing that's left out of society today. Consequences. You know, you make bad choices, it always ends badly. Amen? If I do wrong things, I'm going to pay the price somewhere down the road. If I do not take care of my sin, the wages of sin is death. Now, there's two deaths that are included there. Number one, you're going to die one of these days. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all going to die. Why? Because of sin. Goes back to the first one, right? We're all going to die. You say, yeah, but Brother Doug, I'm young. I've got a long time to live. It goes quickly. Share with you a story this morning. I was blessed this morning. I was at home. And we had grandchildren for the last 2 days. And I've got a little 4-year-old grandson. His name is Harden. And they were leaving. They were going back to Northwest Arkansas and go back to their church this morning. And I appreciate my kids so much for bringing up my grandkids in church, you know? And so, anyway, they were loading up to go, and I hugged the girls, Lila and Ann Douglas, and told them I loved them. And then it was Harden's turn, and I go to Harden, and I give him a big old hug, and I say, Harden, I love you. I say, Harden, you're a good boy. You're a good young man. And Harden smiles and says, thanks, you pops. He said, you're a good old man, too. What could I say? I took it as the compliment that it was. Right? Point being this. You're going to die one of these days. Death, we're all screaming in that direction. Right? But there is a deeper death that I want you to be concerned with, and that is the spiritual death. That is spending eternity apart from God, in a place that God created not for you, but for the devil and his demons. According to the Bible, that place is called hell. It is very real. It is a place of torment, fire, brimstone, where nobody ever dies. You just are tortured for all of eternity. You say, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? He would never send anybody to hell. God would not. People choose to go to hell. All right? And they choose hell by rejecting the only Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, God knew you were a sinner. He knew that you failed. But He loved you so much that He gave His Son as the sacrifice for your sin. You and I both know when you commit a crime, what do? You pay the price, right? In high school or in school, they had a saying, I don't know if you still or not, but they'd say, you do the crime, you do the time, right? If you're a sinner, there's punishment. Jesus took your punishment. He took your sin to a place called Calvary, where He was crucified, beaten, mocked, and He died for you. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the last part of Romans 6:23 is the good news. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we've failed. We're all in the same boat. But there's a free gift, and that free gift is in the form from God, His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid for your sin and for mine. And it's even better. It gets even better. You say, Brother Doug, what can I do to have that salvation? What can I do to know that I'm going to heaven? Romans 10:13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's you. And you and you and you and you and you and you and everybody here. You see, you can't deserve it. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. It is a free gift that God says, here. I want you in heaven with me. Here's the sacrifice, the punishment for your sin. That was my Son. So that whoever, that word whoever means just that. So don't sit here today and say, Brother Doug, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. You're the whoever. That applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to all. Whoever shall call. Listen, my friends, everybody listening, say amen. You're a prayer away from salvation. All you have to do to get it is ask for it. And that's the only way you can get it. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond. That word respond is an interesting word. It means to turn. Lydia heard the truth. She listened because she was interested in the truth. She heard the truth. And God opened her heart that she turned to the truth. Here's my challenge to everyone here today. Will you listen to God? You don't have to listen to me. But will you listen to God? We look at Lydia's obedience. She listened, she responded, and she was obedient. How was she obedient? She was baptized. It says she was baptized. And what is all that about? You know, sometimes we take baptism for granted. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. You know why we're baptized? We're baptized to declare to the world who we belong to. The Bible describes it as our identification with Christ. The Bible describes it that when we're laid down in the water, that we die with Christ. That's the old man dying. When we're raised up out of that water, that's the rising to walk in newness of life. Paul described it like this in Romans 6:4. Therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through glory, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Why do you follow the Lord in baptism? Because you're declaring to everybody present, I'm a child of the King. I belong to Jesus. And you want the world to know that. You say, Brother Doug, you know, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You're absolutely right. But you have to be baptized to be right with God. It's the first step of obedience. So if you've been saved, you say, well, one of these days I'll do it. You need to get with it. Okay? You need to follow the Lord in baptism. And let everybody know who you belong to. It's the first thing you do after you're saved. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Let the world know who you belong to. First way she was obedient, she was baptized. Second way she was obedient, her family was baptized. It was pretty awesome. She's saved. She wants her family to go to heaven with her. And she got them saved. Now, I don't know if she shared or if Paul went and shared. But anyway, the gospel got preached to her family. And all of her family responded and was baptized. What can we learn from that? Moms and dad, make Jesus the priority in your home. Listen, if you're saved, you want your children to go to heaven. Amen. You set the example with them. You make sure they know you love Jesus. And you do everything you can do to turn their hearts toward Jesus. Third thing she did. She put her faith into practice. I love this part. She immediately started ministering. She insisted that Paul and his company stay with her. Now, this was four guys. Paul's traveling with Luke, with Silas, and Timothy, and of course himself at this point. She's a lady, and she just opens up her home, and she says, you guys come stay with me. But she didn't just open up her home. She said she insisted. That's what that word prevail. That word prevail literally means to use force. She would not take no for an answer. She said, y'all are staying with me. It was kind of that mentality. We should have that kind of desire and service to the Lord. You know? That we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't even matter what my family does. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Get involved. Put your faith into practice. Just listen. Faith in Jesus Christ was never meant to be a Sunday only thing. Never. It's meant to be something you live 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Live it. So it brings us to this last part, the time to respond. I've shared with you what God had just laid on my heart. I mean, because somebody here's not saved. Okay? I beg you. This isn't about beating you over the head with the Bible. This is about bringing you to the point that you will listen, that you will accept the truth that you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and that you will call upon Him for salvation. Will you do that this morning? Now I want to talk to the saved people here for just a moment. Okay? You know what we need to do as saved people? We need to learn how to respond to God again. Did you hear what I just said? We need to learn how to respond to God again. You know? Oh, we pray that the lost will come to salvation. But let me ask you this. When's the last time you came down the aisle? When's the last time you got on your knees? You see, if we expect other people to move, we're going to have to get out of our seat and move ourselves. Okay? If you want to see God move, it starts with you and I. God will likely not move until His people do. So that leaves a big responsibility for you and I. This morning there are people here who are lost who need to be saved. And all we want them to come down this aisle and receive Jesus as their Savior. Amen. Are you willing to come down the aisle and pray for them? If not, don't pretend like you want them to be saved. I know there are people here who cannot get on their knees here. I know that. You're not physically able. I will tell you this. You are physically able to respond. Okay? You can be seated right where you are and cry out to God and say, God, get them down the aisle. Lord, let's see them saved today. But if you can get on your knees and you're a child of God, you need to be there. You see, I believe God is the same God that was there on the day of Pentecost. I believe that God who brought 3,000 people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on that day is still here this morning. We have to listen. We have to be willing for God to open our hearts and say, God, your will be done. Manifest your presence here today. If you're lost, I invite you to come. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to bow to you today. You know the needs of everyone present. You know this congregation. And Father, it's not about embarrassing people. It's not about a show. It's about eternity. So, Father, I pray that in this invitation, you'll move your people and that we'll cry out to you. That we'll cry out to you, Lord, to see revival and the fire burn within our hearts, the passion within our hearts once again. And that, Lord, I pray for whoever it is and as many as it is, Lord, today who are not saved, I pray that today they'll come down this aisle and let us share Jesus with them. Father, manifest your presence here today. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.